book of Leviticus, chapter number 9. We're starting at verse number 15. Amen. One more time, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Amen. As we reverence the Word of the Lord tonight. Amen. Numbers, chapter 9 and verse number 15. I greet all the other preachers as well. And throughout the week, we certainly look forward to their ministry. Amen. Numbers 9 and 15, the Word of the Lord says, "And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. And as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle," notice this, "they rested in their tents." Amen. I am interested in the covering of this tabernacle tonight. Amen. I am interested in the glory of the Lord and the presence of God. Aren't you? Amen. Amen. I know Brother Birdsong is not here and not going to be in this camp meeting, but one thing that has not changed is your expectation of what you felt God was going to do in this meeting. Amen. What are you expecting God to do? Amen. I'm interested in the Spirit of God moving in this tabernacle, aren't you? Amen. Can we just commit this first night to the Lord and ask God to give us a memorable camp meeting in His presence? Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your glory. We thank you for your presence. We just thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God. Hallelujah. Lord, what a privilege. What a privilege tonight to be your people. What a name above every name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated tonight. And as we open up the history book of Israel, this is certainly one of the important times in their life, their nation's history, as God is teaching them and instructing them that He is interested in constructing a tabernacle or a meeting place, if you would, that His glory can abide. Now, the children of Israel are going to be visited supernaturally by the presence of God. And in all reality, they are intolerant to any other way. They are extremely interested in the presence of God. As we step into the Old Testament, there are several truths that we learn out of the Old Testament. There are those that are completely uninterested in the Old Testament, but friend, I think it's just the shadow to the New Testament as the substance and the glory and the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. And so as we step into the Old Testament, we realize and learn many things about the nature of God. God's nature is being unfolded in the Old Testament. We realize that God is going to demand a sacrifice, that God is going to demand a blood sacrifice. And so in the Old Testament, we understand that there is going to be one that will have his heel bruise, but he is going to crush the head of the serpent. And we know that prophecy that was proclaimed from Genesis 3 and 15, that it was fulfilled upon Calvary, and Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And from the beginning of Genesis and the blood that was shed of Abel's sacrifice to Rahab's thread, their scarlet thread that was hung down through the window, and throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, that there is that shedding of blood without which no man shall be saved. I'm glad for the blood of Jesus Christ, aren't you? Amen. But one other truth that we learn in the Old Testament is concerning worship. And that is that God is entirely, extremely interested in worship. Matter of fact, when the people of God would worship right, when the people of God would obey the Lord and worship right, they would be blessed above any nation on the face of the earth. But when they would not worship correctly, when they neglected worship, or when they would not even see the importance of true worship, they were judged and cursed by the wrath of the Lord. Amen. So friend, tonight I say, let you and I take notice that we should be interested in worship. Number one, we should be interested in true worship, sincere worship, and genuine worship. And the thing that I know is we have a God that is worthy to be praised. Amen. I believe we have a God tonight that is interested in praise. But I believe, knowing that who He is, we have a God that is worthy of praise, and He is worthy of all glory. Amen. Matter of fact, your Bible said, let everything that hath breath, let it praise the Lord. Amen. How many believe that God is interested in our worship? Amen. And that's the good thing about our God. Amen. For it's not just the preachers, although the preachers were to pitch their tents closer to the tabernacle than anybody. Amen. That's something to be said for the preacher's worship, is it not? Amen. Not just for the singers, but everybody in the nation, everybody in the land of Israel. Amen. When they tabernacled on that nomadic journey, all 12 tribes, as they set up their tents, they surrounded one place, friend. Amen. Their tents were erected and looking toward the center of that camp, and all the millions of those Israelites, as they come out of their tent doors, there was one place that they were looking. It was the tent of meeting. It was the tabernacle of the Most High God. And such is my text tonight, that as Moses finished the tabernacle, every board and every socket, every drape and covering and wall was put in place. And when the last socket was finished, your Bible records in Exodus that the glory of God filled the house, and they could not stand to minister. Friend, I am interested in that glory. Amen. I have been interested in that glory all of my life. And ever since I started preaching as a young man, I'm not as young as I was then. I know I don't look 40 years old. Might as well say amen right there. I know I don't look 40. My dad don't look 64. We just age gracefully. But if there's anything I've ever been interested in, amen, it is the power and the glory of God, amen, as He moves among His people. Amen. And so as we step into this text tonight, amen, there's a few things I want to remind us of as we study the Old Testament. When worship was not done correctly, can I bring Nadab and Abihu to the platform and remind you that worship must be done correctly? That if worship is altered, that if worship is not genuine, that if worship is not holy and sanctified and pure, that the wrath and the judgment of God is soon to fall. Can I bring Uzzah to the platform? A man that simply held out a hand to steady the cart, but yet encountered the judgment of God, because God said His worship and His glory, it will not be handled in an incorrect way. Friend, you and I better wake up and realize there's a reason the psalmist said, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. I will be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Amen. Can I bring Saul to the platform? Yes, that king that was chosen by the hand of God. Saul, that man who became impetuous, that man who in a hurry, he crossed the kingly line into the priestly role and suffered the judgment of God by his lineage being cut off. It cost Jonathan the kingdom because his daddy didn't worship right. Let me preach on this first night. Amen. What would happen in this camp meeting in these next 7 nights if every last one of us, if
if every man, woman, boy or girl, that we made up our mind that we're going to worship Him, we're going to worship Him correctly. We're going to worship Him supremely. We're going to worship Him in holiness. We're going to worship Him in beauty. That we're going to worship Him as the psalmist said, that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Can I tell you tonight, friend, when I go to the house of God, amen, I am interested. Amen, I'm interested in the glory of God. Amen, tonight, Brother Byron Gray, amen, are you interested? I said, are we interested? Hey, Brian Fowler, I said, I come to find that glory cloud. Amen, Brother John Sewell, I'm looking to see if God is ready to cover the tabernacle, I said, with His glory. I said, there is a God that in this last day said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But there's a few things I've got to remind us of. And the glory did not show up until, first of all, your Bible said that on the day the tabernacle was raised up. I said, on the same day, it was not an accident. I said, Brother Jim Yeomans, it was not an accident that the glory showed up. God said, I want a place for the glory to dwell. I want a place for my grace to abide. I want a place where there is worship. I want a place where the glory of God can be manifested. And Moses got busy, and they built the house of God. And when the last socket was in place, on the very same day, can I preach to Broxton tonight that we've got to make room? I said, we've got to make room. I said, we've got to make room for the glory. Hey, I tell you what, let's make room for Him in the singing. I said, every song that's sung, let's make room for the glory. I said, let's make room for the glory. What do you say every service? What do you say every sermon? What do you say every time that we come into the house of God? We make room for Him. We're looking for the glory. We're looking for the glory. Oh, God, would you fall? Would you fall on the young folks? Maybe there's a young... Maybe there's some young people in this camp meeting. Maybe there's some young married couples that would say, you know, we need the glory of God. We need the glory of God in our marriage. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, camp meeting, it's not just for the older folks. Hallelujah. I said, it's not just for them, but I said, it's for us as well. Maybe there's a young married couple in this building that says, we need a move of God in our marriage. We need a move of God in our home. We need a move of God in our children. We need to see the Holy Ghost moving in our family. It's been a while. It's been a while since we shouted. We're just kind of going through the motions. We're just kind of going in and leaving the same way. We're just kind of rocking ourselves to sleep. We're just going in the same way. We're going Sunday after Sunday. We're going Wednesday after Wednesday. But it's been a long time since we've seen a move of God. It's been a long time. Can I preach to you tonight, my heart, and tell you, come on, the glory of God. I said He's ready to fall. I said He's ready to fall. But somebody's got to make room for Him. I said somebody's got to put their hands together. I said somebody has got to leap for joy. Somebody has got to make a move. Somebody's got to step out and say, God, I'm ready. Here I am. On the same day. Go ahead, preachers. Go ahead, singers. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Sing us happy, sing us happy. If you think we're going to preach you happy, Brother Horton might. I'm not. I can't do it. Never learned how. Never been able to do it. But if you are interested, I said, if you are interested in that little Bible verse that says, in the last days saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I got news. I said, my God is still alive. I said, God is looking for a people. I said, God is ready. I said, God is ready. Oh, he that hungers and thirsts, he might get filled. Hallelujah. He that hungers and thirsts. Somebody say it louder like you mean it. One more time. Hallelujah. Let the devil know you believe it. He shall. I said he shall. I said he shall be filled. On the same day. Notice this. The Bible said always. The pattern is still the same. It is still the same. It's always been the same way. Can I tell you, we cannot operate without a move of the Spirit of the living God. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 The Bible said where two or three are gathered together. Who said it? It's good it's in the Bible, isn't it? But if you got a red letter edition, it's even better. You know why? Jesus said it. Mark Twain said them are good words, but they're a whole lot better because I said them. I said that's a good verse because it's in the Bible, but it's a whole lot better because Jesus said it. He said if there are two or three that are together in my name, he said there am. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a blessing. He didn't send a motion. But Jesus Christ said that if I can get two or three, if I can get a few together, I will show up myself. I said he will show up. I said the lily of the valley and the bright and the morning star. I said the rose of Sharon. What you need is him. Hallelujah. 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 I said it's always been that way. Glory, glory, glory. I don't know what the greatest year of your camp meeting ever was. How long's the camp meeting been here? 37 or 38 years. What year was the best? Brother Sellers? Got a year? You know why we say the last one? She's the only one we can remember. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, have there been some good ones? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I've heard some tapes. Oh, yeah. I've got some of the tapes from way back in the day from the Broxton camp meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard Brother Benny Sutherland several years as he preached this meeting and he skimmed some hides. Oh, yeah, he did. Amen. A good friend of mine is Brother Don Rich. And Brother Rich will quickly remind you that he preached the greatest selling sermon in the history of this camp meeting. Oh, yes, he did. When he preached on sin's long trail of tears. However many years ago, he'll quickly remind you. It's the best-selling tape in the history of this camp meeting. Can I tell you tonight? Amen. If it fell that year, the glory fell that year. And if the glory fell that year, when the sin's long trail of tears was being preached, it's going to fall the same way this year. It's not some kind of souped up, some kind of trick. It is the same way. If there are two or three that'll get together and agree, then get ready. I said get ready. God is interested in a meeting place. God is interested in meeting these young folks. God is interested in meeting these young marrieds. I said God is interested in sending a revival. Notice this. The Bible said, oh, because of what was going on in the glory cloud, they were resting in their house. You can't detach what's going on in the church from what's going home in your house. Notice that? As long as the Spirit of God was moving and hovering, they were resting, they were content. They were satisfied. They were in the will of God. Oh, can I preach to you just a couple of more minutes? The greatest thing about my preaching is this. It's always short. And no matter how bad it is, you can endure anything if it's over quickly. Hallelujah. At least that's what they say. Amen. Can I tell you tonight that Moses said this concerning the glory and the presence of God. When God said, I'm going to let my people go into Canaan land, but because of their rebellion, because of them being stiff-necked, I am not going. And so you know what Moses said in his prayer meeting with God? He said, God, if you're not going, I said, if you're not going, I said, if you're not going into Canaan, then God, I don't want to go either. I'd rather stay right here in the wilderness. I'd rather stay right here with your presence in the wilderness than have an angel escort me into Canaan land. Is there anybody in this building? I said, is there anybody in this tabernacle that would say, God, I'm ready for a move of God. I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for a camp meeting more than anything else. Hallelujah. Friend of mine preached a camp meeting a few weeks ago, 2,000 people there. Holiness meeting. 10 people in the altar. That was it. Well, I'm talking about people that don't have TVs. I'm talking about people that don't have DVDs. I'm talking about women with long sleeves and long hair. I'm talking about men with good haircuts and no goatees. They could slide right in this camp meeting and look like they came from any of our churches. But nobody, nobody in the altar. I'd love to turn the tables on the devil this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother Lewis, I would. Brother Fred, I'd love to turn this thing around and have our altars filled with the presence and the glory of God. I don't care if you ever remember one of my sermons. I don't even care if you don't know my name at the end of this meeting. If you can stand and say, I've met with God. I have met with God. My life's changed. I'm different. I say, oh, glory to God. I say, glory. I say, glory. I say, Lord, let it fall. I say, God, right now. I say, right now, at 441, U.S. Highway 441, in Broxton, Georgia, where the GPS lady gets confused every time I try to come. She don't know where we're at, God, but you know where we're at. I said, you know where we're at. Let it fall. Let it fall. Anybody see the glory? I say, anybody ready? Anybody ready for the glory? If so, why don't you stand up right now and just lift a hand toward heaven and say, God, I need your glory. 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 Come on, young folks. Come on, young folks. Come on, mom and dad. Our homes need your glory. Our homes need your glory. Come on, pastors. Come on, youth leaders. Come on, grandma, grandpa. Come on, church. We've got to have your glory. It's not by might, not by power, but it's by my spirit. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Church, we got plenty of room in the altar. I said we got plenty of room in the altar. But what do you say this first night? What do you say this first night? Our prayer is, God, we've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have your glory. Come on, come on, come on. Give us your glory. Give us your glory.